Join RNIB Connect and become part of a wider and stronger community led by blind and partially sighted people. Membership is free, and it's the best way to keep in touch with things that are of interest and help to you. You'll receive Connect magazine, our membership publication, in your chosen format, as well as having the chance to be amongst thousands of like-minded, blind and partially sighted people, friends, families and supporters. You'll also be able to take part in and organise social activities in your area, campaign for change and improve the lives of people with little or no sight, and get help from our dedicated RNIB Connect support team. It couldn't be easier to join RNIB Connect. Simply complete the online form at rnib.org.uk or join over the phone by calling 0303 1234 555.
Downloading 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are...
Hello, I'm Stephen Scott.
I'm Sean Preece.
And I'm Lydia Hume.
Hey! Yes, here we are once again, another week of technology news, trapping ourselves in the world of technology in the only way we know how, which is by being geeks, and we are proud of it. Sean and Lydia with me this week. How are you guys? You doing all right?
So yeah. Good, so good today. When you say about trapping yourself in technology, today I got trapped in a hedge. Well, I took the dog out, so yeah, it's a bit of a sore point in many ways.
Was it a technological hedge?
I don't think so. It had a crisp packet in it. Is that tech? I don't think so. No, it wasn't. It was a pointy, scratchy hedge.
Wow. Well, I tell you, if there is an introduction to a show, that ain't it. But yes, thanks for that, Sean. So Sean trapped in a hedge. Lydia, what have you been stuck in that's been a bit bizarre? There's a question. Just, well, listen, you started it, so I've got to ask Lydia.
Well, I am... hang on. Oh, my God.
No, we're not going to go there. Okay, right, well, I'll have a think about that one as I go through the show. What a strange thing. I have a friend who is blind. He was once stuck in a plant pot for about half an hour. And it was because he was just one of those guys, he wouldn't ask for help. So as a result, he ended up stuck in a plant pot. I should say it was a rather large plant pot. He was kind of navigating his way around. Anyway, yeah, this is a tech show, believe it or not. So crisp packets aside and hedges aside, we're going to be talking about tech this week. I have been playing with Android again.
Oh, it'll all end in tears.
I think it might already have. And I've also been out buying this week as well. Lydia, are you shocked at this news?
Oh, I am a little bit shocked, a little bit. It must be good. I'm very excited to hear about it.
Yeah, well, we'll be talking about an interesting idea that one of our listeners came up with. That's the listeners now who are instructing me to go spend my money. it works both ways, it seems. So all that coming up, plus, of course, the news and lots more on Tech Talk. Stay with us. So remind me, guys, never to ask Sean at the top of the show, so what have you been up to this week? Because we'll get an answer. And
I need to share my pain. You know that point where you think, right, do I need to ring someone now? I've been in here for 10 minutes and I can't find the way out.
As in, like, you really, really got trapped in a hedge then?
I got really trapped. I don't know what happened.
What size was this hedge? How did you get trapped for 10 minutes in a hedge?
Well, I was trying to find the way out. It was like Narnia. I found my way in, but then I found myself in the middle of a hedgerow with brambles all around me and no way to get out. It was harrowing. Let's not make light of this.
I'm taking you really seriously, Sean.
The thing is, you know, most people, right, most people I've ever worked with in the past, radio people, have often taken stories and embellished them for the radio. Sean doesn't do that. This is actually what happened to him. He's not making
Sean
this
really
stuff up.
Sean really got stuck in a hedge for
he
10
really
minutes.
He really did, yeah, yeah. I mean, I can believe this with Sean. I can absolutely believe it.
I'm not too sure of the timing. It felt like an hour. I don't know. It could have been a minute. I don't know. But there was that point where I think, right, I need to ring home for help. Come and find me. I'm in a hedge. Never a great call to make.
Don't get me wrong, right? I can imagine this story embellishing itself in the next few weeks and months, Lydia, because what will happen is, you know, he'll start off the conversation around the table with his friends at dinner saying, you know that movie 127 Hours, where the guy chopped his hand? Yeah, well, that's going to be what it's going to become. You can hear it now. I was in a hedge, and I thought the only way out of here is to cut my left leg off. And then all was fine.
But fortunately, a kind passerby found him.
Found it, stuck it back on, and I'm all right again, yeah. Right, well, from that bombshell, let's move on to the show, because we have got so much. I'm going to start off where we kind of left off last week, and that was with a ton of emails we didn't even get to. Not only that, I had a one to watch that I wanted to bring up at the end of the show last week, and again, we didn't get time because we talked too much. So, Lydia, you're in charge, because you're clearly the sensible one among us. You're in charge of keeping me in check this week. So if we don't get to the end, and I have said the words, if we get to the end and I haven't said the words one to watch, then feel free to clip me around the ear, okay?
Oh, I look forward to that.
Yeah, don't enjoy it too much, okay? Right, let's get into these first.
Email, we get email, we get your email every day.
Yeah, let's get into the mailbag.
Here's your mail today.
Because there are so many that we hadn't even gotten to last week, and I feel bad about that, because we've had a couple of weeks of, you know, kind of shows that have been doing. I mean, we had the R&B in Your Pocket special, and that kind of knocked us all off a bit. So, yeah, won't be doing that again. Right, let's do some emails then. I love that music. Right, Kelly got in touch with. You couldn't read a serious email over that, could you? Right, Kelly's been in touch and sent this email in. We were going to read it last week. She says, hi, gang. Easter is near, as it was at the time she sent this email. And she said, I'm scoffing loads of Easter eggs. I'm hoping that was after Easter, Kelly. She says, I thought I'd give you my review.
I hope she's still scoffing Easter eggs.
Well, do you know, I found
Kelly,
one last night.
Kelly, if you're listening, have an egg for me.
Yeah, I found one last night in my cupboard, and I have to say it hasn't been eaten, which is kind of shocking.
It was low-key Easter egg hunt either,
Yeah, worst one ever. Although in saying that, when you find Easter eggs in your own house and you know they're yours, fabulous. Yes. It's like finding them half price. Anyway, right.
Yes, sorry. Right. Back to Kelly.
No,
sorry, Kelly.
No hedges, crisp packets, or egg talk, all right? Rename the show to Egg Talk. Right, so I thought, says Kelly, I'd give you my review of the Soundscape app, which was designed by Microsoft. I downloaded the app on my iPhone and gave it a try as I went along to my local shop. Now, for those who don't know, just I'll say, The app Soundscape is the one from Microsoft, which gives you awareness of your surroundings and can direct you using audio to a location. So say you were looking for a bank, or you were looking for the door of a restaurant or whatever. It could pretty much try and guide you towards that, or at least the building, if nothing else. So that's the app that Kelly's talking about. Now, she says, although the app... What?
Well, I've got to pick you up on that, Steve. It doesn't give you any directions. It's more orientation. It will tell you where you are, the street you're on, intersections coming up.
That's what I said.
No, you said it will guide and direct you, which is just totally wrong. I hate to pick you up, Steve, and I'm so happy.
What is orientation, Sean? What is orientation?
Well, it's not going to give you turn-by-turn directions to somewhere. It just lets you know where you are. It lets you orientate yourself.
Orientate yourself.
Let's get back to the email. Hello, yeah. Kelly.
The spotlight's
Sorry,
now
Kelly.
On him. Yeah.
We love you, Kelly.
Right. How many minutes into the show are we? This is
yes,
why.
Come on, look. We need to keep... Look, I'm keeping us all on a time schedule here, apparently.
This is why we never get through emails on this programme, because it takes us half an hour just to get into it. Right. So Kelly says, although the app was great and I had earphones on, I just couldn't get on with it. She said the problem I had was that being a long cane user, I needed both hands free. She said I couldn't get on with tones in my left ear and something else in my right. I found it very distracting. Of course, Kelly's talking about what Sean's referring to, the audible beeps and tones that you get with this app. She says, I have used a Trekker Breeze for quite some time now and found that I am more comfortable using the Breeze than Soundscape. I do wish that Humanware didn't discontinue the Trekker Breeze because it was very popular. I don't feel safe at all using earphones and whipping my iPhone out, whipping my iPhone out in public places. I tend to use my iPhone for emails, internet and so on. I don't really use my iPhone for downloading apps. That's just my opinion on it. I just can't get on with it and I don't feel comfortable with it. Have a good Easter and we will speak soon. All the best from Kelly Muggeridge of West Sussex. Okay.
Well, that's one of these occasions where, you know, the old argument about specialized tech with the Trekker Breeze. If you don't feel comfortable using this app, then yeah, absolutely use something else. I can understand, you know, using earphones or whatever you use can be slightly, I don't know, sometimes it blocks out a little too much sound. You can use something like the Aftershocks, a bone conduction headphone, to see if that helps you at all. But yeah, it's entirely personal choice here. If you don't find it comfortable to use or find it useful, then of course, try something else.
Mm. Yeah. Definitely agree. I've not used the Soundscape app. I've just in the old, I know, I'm in this old world of using standard directions on my phone, plugging in where I want to get to if it's somewhere.
So yesterday.
I know. I'm so 2017, aren't I? I need to keep up.
but you're right. I mean, the thing is, again, it comes down to what you're used to. I mean, there are a lot of people who may not be comfortable using Soundscape because they're so used to using the directions. My issue has always been, though, finding it's always what I would say the last 10 yards or the last 10 meters or whatever money you choose to currency in. You know, that is where I would say, well, you know, it for me, it's about, you know, I can find the building or at least find the area where the building is. I had this problem the other week. I was in London. I found a street. It told me arrived as I was standing next to a bin. And I thought, well, clearly the meeting I'm going to is not taking place in a bin. I hope it's not. Well, not
it's taking place in the hedge next door.
Exactly. There's a hedge lying somewhere that Sean's in. And, you know, but I'm thinking, I mean, the party in the bin might be later, but for now, surely it's in one of these buildings around here. But it doesn't tell me which one. Whereas this app gives you a little bit more, but not much. I mean, again, it's the problem's not with the apps or the phone. It's down to GPS and its allowance. It doesn't allow you, I don't believe, to get that close, because I think then you get into all kinds of personal safety and privacy issues around how well you are tracked. I mean, if we were tracked within an inch of a centimetre, or, well, that doesn't make any sense, but, you know, within a centimetre of the phone or whatever, that would be pretty dangerous if you think about it. The potential for all kinds could happen, but for this it would be brilliant, but it's a safety issue. Just on that point that Kelly makes about the Trekker Breeze, she said discontinued. Yes, it has. Well, it has been discontinued. You can still buy it, but there is a new one called the Victor Reader Trek, which you might want to try. It's basically a combination of the old Breeze and the Victor Reader Stream, which gives you more capability in one box. And, you know, it's going for, what have I got it here, it's £545 on the Humanware site, £545 on the Humanware site, which I believe is cheaper than the original one. So
with added functionality.
With lots more,
yeah.
So that might be something to consider, Kelly. I don't know if that's of interest to you. I'm sure you'll tell us, but thank you for your email. I wanted to get that email in because, you know, this is what it's about. You know, we get so many emails in from people sometimes saying, you know, oh, I don't agree with what that person said. And that's fine. You know, it's absolutely fine to disagree with what people are saying. Because, you know, if we were all the same, this would be pretty boring. And I think half the problem we have in this world is that people do think we as blind people all just live the same way. I mean, it's like, I used this example a while back around Netflix and audio description. I love that Netflix have put an audio description category in there. But what I don't like is the fact that I have to just then, it's then assumed that every single thing that's in that category, I'll want to watch.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like sci-fi. So I don't want to sit and watch tons of movies about sci-fi. So can I not, you know, get into the dramas and the tearjerkers, which is more my kind of thing?
The rom-coms. Well, the chick flicks.
Absolutely.
So sensitive.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm a big baby, really. Okay, so thank you for that, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you for your email. Matthew has been in touch, who says, "Dearest terrifyingly, terrifically tasty tech talk."
Oh, wow.
Very good.
This is exciting.
He says, "Love
Can't
feasting.
Can't wait to hear more.
I love feasting upon your show every week." This is because we always end up with a food theme. This is my fault.
You do.
Yeah. this email is from Matthew, who says, "Normally I'm an in-the-know techie, nodding along and punching the air with you. But now I really need the help of you and our community. I'm partially sighted with enough vision to navigate a computer with about 8x magnification. But I need speech for reading emails, documents and web pages. Several years ago, during university, I became so infuriated with the poor performance of my DSA Windows laptop," that would be the Disabled Students Allowance that's bought this laptop, "with Supernova, Remember, I need magnification in speech. So much annoyed with it that I actually got a Mac. And yes, it just works. Zoom is competent, never fails to follow focus, unlike Supernova. Plus, I don't just have VoiceOver, but the Read Selected Speech hotkey feature. This is found under Speech and Dictation within the System Preferences for those who are interested. Now, the Mac helped transform my computing experience, mental health and life. But now I've graduated and I'm in work. Currently, I'm in a four-month internship at the Scottish Parliament, so I have to use Windows again. Parliamentary IT have just upgraded me from an appallingly old Lenovo machine running Windows 7 to a Microsoft Surface Pro 4 with Windows 10 and a dock at my desk. The hardware is lovely and shiny and new, but the software problems persist. Now, I'm good at the parliamentary assistant position I'm in, but constant irresponsiveness of assistive technology, Internet Explorer, or Office, or any one of these things crashing means my productivity is poor compared with my colleagues. Supernova keeps crashing totally or just has feature failures or delay. Magnification is jittery, keeps moving in and out when I'm just working on the Surface without the dock. So I've tried installing NVDA to trial an alternative solution to use it for speech, plus Windows Magnifier for magnification, but just can't get my head around it. Access to work has messed up my application, so professional training is nowhere in sight. I'd truly love any solutions, suggestions or workarounds that people could offer. By the end of my internship, I want to know I can work to my fullest potential and productivity. If I can't, I feel IT will truly hold me back and hold back my future job and career development prospects. Thank you so much, truly, from Matthew Clark. Well... Where do you start?
I mean, that's what it's all about, though, isn't it? It's about this gives us the ability to do a job. I mean, that's the very foundation of accessible tech. That's a tricky one. I mean, it sounds like it's the problem is some sort of conflict with Supernova. I would have suggested try the Windows magnification and something like an alternative screen reader like NVDA. If you'd like to give us some more details about what, you know, you can't get your head around it, what sort of problems you're having, maybe I can give you some more details. But yeah, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah, such an ongoing problem, isn't it? If access to work can't give you the help you need, then you can't do your job as well as you know you're able to do. And it's such an unfair disadvantage that we have as visually impaired people, and such a common disadvantage as well. So I'm glad you mentioned it, Matthew, because you won't be alone in this, I promise.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? It's that voice that often feels alone. And I imagine, Matthew, you probably do feel a bit alone. I have to tell you from my own experience, and I can only speak from mine, but I'm kind of going through the same problem. And that's why I made the decision last year to switch to JAWS completely, because I was having so many issues using Zoom. Now, remember, I edit for a living sometimes. And, you know, and when I do the edits, I find using Zoom a nightmare, because Zoom text, as I use, it just does not work with audio applications, because I think when the waveform is moving, it just doesn't know where to zoom to. So it's all over the place and it ends up crashing. I've not used Supernova. I did the last time I used it, I was at school, so that's like 800,000 years ago, so it's not even worth mentioning. But, you know, I imagine that I can understand the problems, and it's because we're using software on top of software on top of software. Whereas with the Mac experience, as you know, it all is built into the system. I mean, that's what you use, Lydia, isn't it? You use a Mac.
Yeah, Matthew did exactly what I did. I had a DSA, the Disabled Students Allowance Windows computer, running Supernova, and they put Dolphin Dictate on it as well for me. And it used up so much of the available RAM of the computer that it couldn't actually do the job it was required to do, to the point where I couldn't even word process. So I did exactly the same, bought myself a Mac, found it just as game-changing as Matthew did. And it was such a game changer. But the second you go into another office, or the second you start working somewhere else, when you finally think, oh, yeah, I've got technology now, I can do technology, I can use it again. Oh, look, here's a Windows computer that doesn't meet your needs. And that is a recurring theme that I've had throughout the last sort of 5 or 6 years now. So I can definitely empathize with Matthew there.
Surely.
Well, I would suggest getting in touch with Dolphin about Supernova if there is some sort of conflict there. I mean, they're usually pretty good at trying to resolve something like that with you. So maybe that's another step.
Yeah, that is a good. That's a good idea for sure. Yeah. But I would also suggest, and it's only because I did it again, and I'm a bit of a bullish type, you might have guessed.
I thought you were soft and sensitive, Stephen.
Well, yeah, only with my movies. Only with my movies. Only when I go home at night. In work, I'm a bull.
When I finish being bullish, I'm soft and sensitive.
but what I did was I called up my IT department and I said, look, I can't be bothered with this Windows nonsense. You know, I need a Mac. And they said, we don't support Mac. We're not interested. It's not. Nothing to do with us. In fact, it got to the stage where they said, okay, you can have one, but you know, we're not supporting you on it. And I thought, you know what? I'll support myself because I know how this works. So that's what I did. That's exactly what happened to me. And as a result, it ended up that I got myself a Mac and I used it in work and it's been amazing. Now, I have to say, it's not great for everything because not every single thing works with it. That's the problem, you know. So you have a lot of applications that don't work with Mac, and that causes problems. So I'm kind of jumping between. But for me, it became the point where I realised that the Zoom for me just wasn't usable anymore. That's why I switched to Jaws. I'm not saying that's the answer. I think your idea, Sean, of getting in touch with Dolphin's a good one because there might be some support in there. I mean, you know, you're using a Surface Pro. You'd think that would be pretty beefy.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? And I suppose Matthew's in the extra position of the fact that he's just graduated and he's in a 4-month internship. So I suppose he's not really in a situation where he could say, buy me a Mac.
Yes, it's only Stephen can do that. No, sometimes you do need to shout to get yourself heard and see how far you can push it.
When Matthew decides, you know, in terms of what he's going to do long-term work-wise, when he's got himself a contract somewhere, then absolutely shout and get yourself a Mac if that's what you want.
Hey, get the head of IT at the Scottish, whatever it is, to get in touch with us and we'll sort them out.
Bullish Stephen will sort them out.
I would say, look, I'm in a similar situation as well. I use the Windows magnifier and NVDA, and I find the Windows magnifier is more than capable for everything I need it to do.
Well, look, I just want to add to this that Matthew has written, if you help me, I'll give you a personal tour of the Scottish Parliament and lunch in the members' restaurant. I know the lunch part will definitely interest TikTok hosts and assure you, parliamentary catering is delicious. There is also a gym for after. Well, you can shove that for a start. but I'll take the lunch.
I'll join in.
Yeah, yeah. What, the gym or the food?
Extra cake. Then I'll go to the gym.
Yeah, you can go on your own. Right, okay.
Then I'll go back for a cake after the gym.
Well, that's actually, that's the best bit. It's like going for a Chinese meal after you go to the gym. I always find that.
Just skip the gym bit. We're all agreed. No gym, but plenty of food. Thank you. That sounds fantastic.
Twist in my arm. On to Pete. Let's get Pete's email.
Seriously, though.
Thank you, Matthew.
Seriously, Matthew, thank you for getting in touch. And listen, you know, I'm really glad you said in your email there that you're good at your job, because you should be saying that. You are. I'm sure you are good at your job, Matthew. And, you know, it is purely technical issues that's causing you these problems. It's not you. And I think that's important for anybody to know that. Right, okay. Pete has been in touch as well. Hi, Pete. He says, hi, Stephen, the gang. As a first-time listener to your podcast after being recommended by a friend, I found your podcast very interesting and extremely useful for a newbie of visual impairment and associated technology. Keep up the good work, and I look forward to your next podcast. Kind regards, Pete Ward. Thank you so much, Pete. That's lovely.
Oh, I like those emails. Thank you, Pete.
We like you. You can stay.
Yes, please.
See you next time, definitely.
Lydia says you can stay, so it's okay.
I've deemed you. Yeah.
Been initiated. It's fine. Paul's been in touch as well. Dear
hi,
Stephen.
Paul.
Hello. Dear Stephen, Sean, Tim, Lydia, et al. I have been listening to your programme for just over a year now. It has proven to be an invaluable resource, as I discovered recently. I have acquired my first Amazon Echo. In order to set it up, I found Sean's feature podcast about how a blind person can set one up without sighted assistance. I have to say that his walkthrough of setting up an Echo was excellent. I simply followed his instructions step by step, and I was up and running within a few minutes. Even the Amazon Alexa app is completely accessible as well. Well done, Sean. You don't get the credit you deserve.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy.
Don't worry, Paul. He gets loads of credit.
Yeah. At the local butchers. Right. I have also...
Well done, Sean.
Thank you. That's great. I'm touched. I'm filling up.
Now, he says, I've also just upgraded from iPhone SE to iPhone 8. Now, although reviewers have described the iPhone 8 as the default iPhone and somewhat boring, I believe it's the perfect phone for anyone blind or with some vision who's upgrading and can afford to purchase one outright. First of all, it doesn't have all the bells and whistles of the iPhone 10, but it's hundreds of pounds cheaper. Second, it is as fast and as powerful as iPhone 10, especially helpful for voiceover users like me. It is so much quicker and responsive than my iPhone SE. Third, iPhone 8 has stereo speakers and is much louder than previous iPhones. That has obvious benefits for those of us who rely on audio so much. And fourth, the slightly larger screen is helpful for anyone with any usable vision. I cannot read text at all, but the buttons and icons are larger and clearer than on phones with smaller screens. 10 days after activating the phone, it's definitely the best iPhone I've ever owned. Just perfect for the blind or low vision user. Kind regards, Paul Harvey.
Oh, brilliant. Wow. Fantastic review of that.
Actually, do you know what? I haven't thought of that before, guys. I mean, I often talk about the iPhone SE as the blind phone. Maybe it's the 8. Maybe that's the new one. Maybe that's the new BE, the blind edition.
Well, it's all about size. And the people have wanted to, that's something, because a lot of the time when you say VI, people think, well, because I don't have enough vision to see the screen, it doesn't matter to me, the screen size. Mm. So the smaller form factor is what people refer to when they say the SE is the visually impaired phone or the blind phone, because, you know, we don't really care about the screen. So the smaller, but still having all the functionality, is better for us. But he's absolutely right. The iPhone 8, it is top of the range once you take the iPhone 10 out of the mix, which is pretty extreme price point anyway. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm an iPhone 7 Plus user, and the screen's everything for me, the big screen. Everything I can do where I can look at it, I do, because I'm stubborn.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are like that, though. I mean, I try not to do it, but I'm like you. Sometimes I just get frustrated and think, oh, stuff it, I have to do this. And, you know, you go and do it and you pay for it afterwards. Certainly I do. You know, nice headache. I mean, I have to say, I'm keeping yes. the paracetamol company at Poundland going because, I mean, it might be...
Other lands are available, obviously.
Other lands, yes. but, yeah, no, good point. And interesting email from Paul. I have to say, I'm kind of... using the iPhone SE, I'm going to talk about Android in a minute, but I've been using my iPhone SE as a personal phone, and I've got to say I'm not overly impressed. It's very sluggish, it has its problems, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I like this. So, I don't know, it's an awkward one at the moment. Right, let's go on to Android, though, because I've got for you 5 reasons to buy one, and why I won't be. Now, this might not surprise some people who listen to this show regularly. They'll say, here we go. It's an Android bashing section again. Well, it's not, actually, I have to say. I've been using an Android, Moto G5. This is the same Moto G5, I should say, that I've been sitting with for about a good year now and been kind of toying with. It's been playing with my mind, like, you know, like a conquest from afar. I've been watching and unable to do anything with it. So,
what are you talking about?
A phone at the moment. So, what did I like about it? Well, as I say, I've got 5 reasons why I think it's great. At least I think I've written 5, can't count. So I think it's 5. But yeah, and one reason, as I say.
You have.
Okay, I have, right, thank you.
Yeah, someone read the notes. 5 reasons, okay? This is it, everyone.
Someone could actually read the notes. Right, okay, so first reason is price. The price is obviously a big factor for me. This phone is about £169. It is a really decent little phone. I mean, it's decent. It's you know, lots of functionality to it. 3 gigabytes of RAM inside it. I don't know how that compares to an iPhone, because you don't really hear those kind of specs. But it has got 32 gig memory in it. It's got the capability to expand that with a micro SD card. Maybe by Microsoft, I don't know. Other brands are available. But in addition to all of that, you can put 2 SIM cards in it, which I really like. You can do dual SIM, and that's dual active SIM. I think a lot of people have the belief about dual SIM that you can you put one SIM in and you put both SIMs in, and then one's active, and then you have to switch the phone off and then select the other. You don't, actually. They're both active at the same time. So someone can call you on one number and then on the other number actually at the same time, and the phone just treats them as if it were one. So it's actually quite clever. So price is a big factor for me. That was definitely number one. The features are good for that money compared to even an iPhone SE, which is, what, about £350, £400?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And then, of course, you move up to the iPhone 8, as we were hearing about from Paul. I mean, you know, again, the price goes up again. But, you know, for that money, it's decent. Accessibility is, you know, on this. It's got TalkBack and it's got a magnifier as well, if you require that. I use TalkBack on and off, if I'm honest with it, primarily because I'm still getting used to it. The accessibility, I would argue, is a bit easier to learn than Apple's. And I say that, and that almost seems like a, whoa, need a whole show to discuss that one. Well, the reason I say that is because there are fewer gestures. But by fewer gestures, I don't mean that's a bad thing. It's that you have less to learn, which means it's actually easier to learn the system. You know, simple swipes. There are more gestures to learn on the iPhone and on the iPad. But again, I think it's all down to choice. And I think we do need a proper side-by-side comparison of all these gestures. Maybe that's something we should focus on in the future, actually, guys, because, you know, you can't really make an informed choice by just swiping around on a screen. Because usability and accessibility, as we've said before, are two very different things. And you might find that one is easier than the other. But accessibility I found to be fairly good. I mean, one of the strangest things and quirks I found is that by reducing the text size to pretty much the lowest settings it will go, there are two settings, by the way, for screen size and font size. When you put them both down to their lowest settings, the TalkBack, what would you call it? The TalkBack responsiveness. Well, the responsiveness of it. don't jump in.
Sorry.
It often is better, which I find really strange. I mean, why would it be better when the text is smaller? Is it because there's less or more on the screen? I don't get it. But it seems to be the case. If you increase the font size, it becomes a little bit more sluggish.
So, I'm going to try that with an iPhone and an Android device, and I'm going to see if I agree with you there.
It's just really odd. Really, really odd. But yeah, so that was one thing. As I say, less gestures. Customization was another reason for me, because you can do a lot more with Android than you can do with an iPhone, if you're into it, that is.
Been the way, hasn't it, with customization?
Exactly. So it's been one of the key things about Android, actually. You can change things. Like, for example, your home screen. You can have on your home screen a clock. You could have more apps or your chosen apps. Now, you can do that on an iPhone as well, but you can only change apps. You've only got the option for apps, but you can add widgets and you can add clocks and calendars and all kinds of things on your home page, which makes a lot of the information you might be trying to get to easier. There are default apps, for example, you can choose for playing media. So you might not like using one app, you can use the other. You don't get that option with an iPhone. And keyboards. Now, you can change keyboards, I believe, in iPhone now, but that's something you couldn't do for a long time. You can do it on Android. I downloaded the Swift Key keyboard, which I found to be the best one. It is a good one. But interestingly, when you take the text size and the font size or the screen size down to its lowest, it takes the keyboard size down with it, and it makes the keys tiny. So better accessibility, but then you need fingers like pins. So it creates a problem for me with my large fingers. Another feature that I really liked, and it kind of goes back to text size, if you've got some sight, and this is what interested me, I was able to use most of my apps that I couldn't use anymore on my iPhone. I've got 7 Plus, the same as you. And what was really interesting is that I couldn't read a lot of the apps anymore on that phone. Whereas on the Moto G5, with all the text sizes pushed up to full and to large, or largest or whatever it's called, I was able to read everything. I mean, you know, within reason, I can read, but I just can only read for a very short period of time. So say, for example, I was looking at my bank balance. I could do that, whereas on my iPhone 7 Plus, I can't see it because whatever they've done with the app, the text has got a lot smaller. But that large size option seems to apply to more apps than it does on the iPhone side. And it doesn't crunch the text together in the way that...
It's a really big deal for people with residual vision. That's a really big deal because I find that my iPhone, especially on emails, crunches, like you say, all the text together. When I'm trying to read an email, it's all overlapping. I'm thinking, well, what's the point of having this huge font if it's just going to overlap? Obviously, I need the large font to be clearer.
And as we all know, I mean, this was a bug for a long time. Sean, you were aware of it. You know, when you get an email in and the text would all crunch.
Yeah.
You couldn't see a thing. You couldn't read anything off it. And they have fixed that. Don't get me wrong. That's been fixed. But, you know, it's a problem. There are some apps that it does it with. I mean, National Rail, I think, was a classic for it. There was another app that you used to find locations. And whenever you would type in the location of what you were looking for, it crunched all the text together of all the various elements. And you couldn't.
It becomes unreadable. Yes.
Exactly. Okay, so here's my other reason for deciding that this is actually a really good device, and that is that you get a better range of devices as well. So you're not just stuck to a couple of models like you are with Apple. You get ranges. You know, there's all kinds of different brands. Some of them do bring along their own complications. Some of them do bring along their own benefits. I mean, Samsung have put a lot of effort into TalkBack, and they've created their own version of it, which is rather interesting. You know, so you do get more choice, I think, for your money out there. But yeah, I think overall Android was a good experience. I have enjoyed it. There is one reason, though, that I won't be buying it, and that is because I'm too tied into Apple. That's the truth.
Oh.
Are you not buying that, Lydia? Are you not accepting that reason?
I don't know. You love Apple. It sounds so good. All of these five reasons, they sounded so good. I was like, oh, well, the text doesn't crunch together. You can get better screens. You can customize it. Have a clock on all these different things. But I'm too tied into Apple. And I think I'm in the same position.
But this is it. So, I mean, this is it from the Switch point of view. I think for someone who's new to this, for someone who's going out to buy their first smartphone, I think Android is a really good option for you.
Especially if you're not a computer user. If what you want is a phone.
Yeah.
And Absolutely. You want the extra things you can do with a smartphone, like your GPS and your maps and your soundscape and you're getting out and about, all those things. But yeah, and you don't have a computer, then yeah, absolutely. But oh, too tied into Apple. Mm-hmm. I'm in the same
When you say too tied in, you mean you've spent too much money on the Apple ecosystem apps and anything else?
It's not just that, though. I mean, that's part of it. Absolutely. I've spent a lot of money on apps and I can't switch them across. But, you know, I'd almost be prepared to buy them again if it wasn't for some other functions. Like, for example, I love the way that my MacBook and my phone work together. They just work seamlessly together. If I'm working on a document, as often as I am, maybe I'm working on something or I find something on Twitter that I want to talk about in the show, I can copy the link from my phone and instantly hit Control-V on my Mac and it pastes into the document I'm working on because it's got universal clipboard. I can do iMessages across devices. I can sit with my iPad or I can sit with my MacBook and continue to have a conversation with someone without having to constantly pick up a phone. So there are things that tie these devices together in a way that the Android infrastructure, considering that they do have Google Chromebooks and, you know, obviously Chrome is very much a cross-device, they haven't quite Android tablets, yeah. So you don't get the kind of unified experience that you get with Apple. And I have to say, that is obviously the trick that Apple are using. This is no fault of Google, by the way. No fault at all. Or indeed any of the companies that make Android phones. The fact of the matter is that Apple have built a system that has locked us in and we cannot get out because I'd lose so much. I mean, what was funny was, in the very first day that I put my SIM card into the Moto G5, going from an iPhone to a G5, I couldn't send or receive texts because I had to go in and take away, because the number had been associated with my iMessages and my iCloud account. So I couldn't get out of it. So I actually couldn't even use the text function until I had gone away and told the phone, leave it alone. It's just such a bizarre thing. It's like some kind of weird boyfriend or girlfriend that just won't leave you alone. He or she just keeps coming back.
It's like a hedge in many ways.
It's like a hedge with crisps. Yes, absolutely. I do like it, I have to say. I really kind of, after the experience I've had so far, I kind of wanted to go out and buy myself a Samsung S9, but I know that I can't, because what would I do with it? I can't do any of the things I currently do.
But all in all, great for someone that might be buying their first smartphone. You'd recommend it?
Definitely. Yeah. Would definitely recommend it. Fantastic. And not only that, I would go as far as to say that if Google come round to the idea of unifying all the devices, then for me, that is a real real pool. But I can do a lot of, I mean, you know, thinking of that, I could do a lot of that already with the iPhone, like Google Docs, Google Drive. I can do all that with the iPhone as well.
Yeah.
Because Google's a much more open company in some ways, at least in the software sense. So, you know, that's a, it's a good thing and it's a negative for me. So there you go. But anyway, that's my thoughts on Android. Do share your thoughts. TechTalk@rnib.org.uk. The bag will be bulging with hate by the end of the show, I'm sure. Right, let's get on to this.
News from the internet.
Yeah, a couple of stories. Not much, I have to say, in the news this week. One that's kind of caught my attention is Microsoft introducing a number of improvements in Windows 10 this year to improve accessibility. Have you heard about this?
No.
Well, I'm glad because I'm going to tell you about it.
I haven't heard a thing about this.
Well, you know, thankfully I'm here. The company.
I'm so glad to hear about this.
The company recently outlined some of the new accessibility-related features and improvements in Windows 10 that are available to what's called Windows Insiders. That's not me, as well as some that will be coming to users later in the year. Microsoft is giving a lot of love to accessibility this year as the company plans to push ahead with making the operating system more accessible to everyone. Couple of the updates. So range of different improvements to the Settings app in Windows 10 that makes it easier to navigate and control the settings. Microsoft have also said that they'll make it easier for users to find accessibility-related settings within the app with the new categorized Ease of Access settings area. There are a number of improvements coming to Narrator this year, which is now faster and more accurate in some of the core Windows apps. Narrator also now works better with Windows 10's default Microsoft Edge browser. And Microsoft is bringing support for Windows 10's safe mode to Narrator with the upcoming release of the OS. Now, in addition to that, and this is not all for blind people, which is good news, everyone gets in this. Microsoft is also making it easier to navigate Windows with eye control and introducing improvements to make some of the important controls like accessing Start menu a lot faster with your eyes. Microsoft says the company is also working to bring text suggestions to hardware keyboards in Windows 10, which will show automatic word suggestions for those with a hardware keyboard. Support for text suggestions with hardware keyboards will arrive for English in the United States first, and hopefully more languages in the future. So lots and lots of benefits to this for us, of course. Narrator getting a bit of love and attention, and as it has been over the past few years, although I have to say, as great as it is and as all the love it gets, it never quite seems to hit the mark for us as a screen reader, does it?
It's slow. It's so unresponsive. Well, not so, but the more you use it, and depending what app you're using in, you're waiting for it to catch up. Just doing the Alt tab to flip between apps, it's, you know, it's just so slow. So it definitely needs some love in that department. The Narrator in safe mode is a nice addition. So yeah, we'll have to wait and see how much work it gets.
But Lydia, you're a Mac person. You don't care about this kind of thing, do you?
No, not really. I mean, I've used Windows 10. I've used Windows 10 on friends' computers and family's computers, and I agree, it is really slow. It's that software on top of software thing again, isn't it? It's built in, it just doesn't seem to have that finesse that Apple manages.
I've got to disagree because I'm running Windows 10 on a Mac Mini.
Right.
And I was, you know, jumped on the Mac and loved it. And okay. I'm just finding VoiceOver busy, 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 the focus jumping issues that I stopped using it. I find VoiceOver to be clunky in a lot of occasions on the Mac. Now that
so
could
now
be
you're
to do
using
with...
Windows on a Mac.
Yes, I am.
I know it's...
You just want to see the world burn, don't you, Sean?
it's just, quite frankly, he's got no dignity at all. And that is evident by his story to begin this episode and now telling us that.
See, my trouble is, Sean, I'm just too tied into Apple.
Yeah. I think that's our new phrase, isn't it? It's going to be our, sorry, too tied in, can't do it.
Sorry, can't do that, actually. I'm too tied into Apple.
Okay, let's talk about Apple then. This will cheer Lydia.
Oh, okay. Let's.
Apple are considering future iPhone models with some drastic changes in design, apparently. Bloomberg are reporting that two major differences are coming to the current iPhone lineup, although it sounds like the projects are tentative and experimental. At least, at the very least, these features are still years away from shipping, as far as we're aware, anyway. The report says Apple is testing an iPhone display that can detect gestures from fingers without actually touching the screen, almost like hovering over elements of the user interface. The touchscreen is a primary way that users interact, of course, with Apple's iOS devices, so it certainly makes sense that Apple is also always considering possible innovations. The company debuted pressure-sensitive displays with Apple Watch and the iPhone 6S, of course, in the form of 3D touch. By pressing firmly on the screen, you can perform actions, contextual actions, that are different to simply just tapping and holding. But the air gestures that are described by Bloomberg would potentially enable another degree of interaction. The report says the screen would be able to detect how far away the finger is from making physical contact. Now, from a blind person's perspective, what do we think about this?
Terrible.
I am concerned.
Wasn't this an issue in iOS 7 or 8? There was a problem where it was too sensitive, and even before you touch the screen, it would activate. So this has been seen before. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say until we get the practicalities of it, but I'm not sure. I don't use 3D Touch hardly myself anyway.
I do use 3D Touch. I really like 3D Touch, actually, to get to menus quickly and to get around and about quickly.
Fight!
But I can't. He's got a hedge and a crisp packet on his side, Stephen. I've got nothing. Nothing at all, except for my love of Apple. Oh, I don't know. Okay, so it might not be great for us, but in terms of accessibility in general, it could be great for other people who aren't visually impaired. So there's perhaps that, but we would need to be able to turn it off, wouldn't we? I think, so that we don't end up sort of swiping around and, I mean, having things starting up all over the place before we want them to, because that's an issue with VoiceOver in itself, or any of the talkbacks or anything like that, is they talk at you when you're in the middle of a meeting or something. So you can turn those off. So I'm sure you'd be able to turn this off for us. Hopefully.
There is another revelation, and that is that Apple are designing iPhones with a screen that curves inwards to the middle. I'm trying to think how that works.
Concave?
Concave, yeah. It says the glass on current iPhones curves slightly at the very corners. What this report describes is something more extreme, where the actual middle of the display is lower than the top and bottom of edges. Does that make sense? I'm trying to think.
Okay.
You can eat your soup out of it, I suppose.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what other use there is.
Apple
for that.
Soup bowl, yeah. The description resembles apparently the appearance of the LG Flex smartphone, if you've seen that. I haven't.
Nope.
But apparently these features are at least 2 years away from reaching customers and new products. And I guess this is the big concern about accessibility going forward, is, you know, as they design and they develop these new types of devices, how will we feature in all of this? Where will we sit as blind people? So I'm intrigued by this one. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. It is a report, and like everything else, it's rumours. Speaking of them, here's some more. Apparently there's some rumours on the new 2018 iPhone lineup that are being corroborated with others from this report from Bloomberg. We're going to see a 6.5-inch iPhone X Plus, a new 5.8-inch OLED model, and a 6.1-inch LCD model. So I guess we're thinking about what an iPhone sort of standard, like an iPhone 7 Plus, iPhone 8 Plus, plus an additional iPhone 10 Plus.
Yeah, wow, that's right, 10 Plus, and it's going to have the big thing there is going to be a bigger OLED screen. So this is what we would expect anyway, isn't it?
So bigger screens, smaller batteries.
Well, do you know something? I guess to the point where, you know, it's lovely and all that, but, you know, I kind of hark back to the days of my Nokia 3310 or my N95 that I really loved.
And all the fabulous accessibility it held for you.
Well, you had talks. Yeah. You had talks. That was decent.
Yeah. Text messaging, that was about it.
You could text. You could find a contact. What more do you need? Right, I want to shift gears a little bit, because I want to talk about what I've been buying this week. I've been spending
You bought money. A thing.
I
you
bought a thing. Yeah, I bought a thing. That's the name of this feature. here is said thing. It's called a Vox speaker. Now, I will say that Vox, if you're looking for it, is spelled V-A-U-X. It was suggested to us by one of our listeners who got in touch and said, hey, you should try this out. And I thought, I will. What it is, it's a speaker, cylindrical speaker, which has got a space at the top of it to drop in an Amazon Echo Dot and turn it into a big Echo. It's like stilts for your Amazon Echo Dot.
So it's a bed riser, is it?
Monitor riser, yeah. That's maybe a nicer way of putting it. But yes, that kind of idea. So it gives it some height, but it also gives it better sound. You get two little cables that are built into it. There's a little silicon flap at the back. You open back, you pull back, and then you put the cables in, and that's it. But it's also got a battery in it, which is fantastic. It means you can take it around the house with you. And if you want to go into the shower and sing along with your favourite songs or shout at Alexa, then you can do it from the bathroom now as well. So I got it. And I have to say, I mean, it's one of those things, I'd love to play you the sound, but it wouldn't make any sense across the air. But I do think the sound is okay, certainly better than the Echo Dot on its own. Is it as good as the Echo? Well, this is the interesting thing. I mean, when you actually add up the price of buying both, you'd probably be better off just buying the Echo, if I'm honest. But if you've got an Echo Dot lying around, you want to upgrade with a battery and a bit of more powerful speaker, then it's certainly considerable to buy. It is £49. That's what I paid for it. So, you know, it's not cheap, but it's, you know, I mean, if it was half price, see, they sold it for £25. I think it was the greatest thing ever. But they sold it for £49, and I thought, yeah, it's okay. Because the sound quality, it's not Sonos, it's not Bose, but then it's £49. And it's okay. I would say that the sound is great. It just could do with a bit more bass to it. It doesn't have a lot of bass to the sound, but it is a fairly decent speaker. And for the kitchen or for the bathroom or for just generally taking around the house, even outside, it's not too bad. One point to note, though, if you are thinking of getting one, a few of our listeners have been in touch to say they're interested in these. What I would say is that's fine, but just remember it's not waterproof. So that's one thing you might want to consider.
I think the thing with this is, like you said, though, you know, comparing it to the Amazon Echo, the Amazon Big, as you call it, price-wise, yeah, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to buy these two separate. But if you've already got a Dot and you want to add this functionality, because the other thing, of course, if you take the speaker side away from it, is the fact that it's got a battery. Making this portable is a big deal. So perhaps for, you know, specific use cases, it sounds like a good buy. It's definitely an interesting one, and the reviews I've read of it say there's nothing wrong with it. It's just the sound isn't as good as it could be, but it's depend where you're looking at it from or listening to it from.
Well, do you know, it's interesting you say that, because there are people who have tried it with friends who've been around, and I say, what do you think of the sound? And they're like, it's the greatest sound ever, which tells me that my ears are a bit more tuned than theirs. you know, because I'm a bit of an audiophile. I love quality sound. I've got Sonos all over my house. So, you know, I have got a bit of an obsession with sound quality.
But you didn't get your Sonos for £49, did you?
Exactly.
No, £449, yes.
exactly.
So what do you
expect? Could have 10 Vox speakers for that, you know?
It could blast the house 10
Dots, 10 Vox speakers, blast them all together.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing, though. I actually think it's a really good thing. And, you know, I kind of got it thinking this will be one of those things I'll buy and then wish I hadn't, send it back. But no, I think it's quite good. And as I say, it's the battery bit that really appeals. Only one thing I'd find wrong with it, and it's actually a good thing, but it's a bit of a nuisance as well, is that because it's got a battery in it, and when you put it, you basically use the same cable. You don't get a cable to plug it in, because you just use the same cable that you got with your Echo Dot, which is actually quite sensible. It's instead of getting another cable. So it charges up and that's great. So I took it into my spare bedroom and I left it in there, and I was using it that day. I was doing something in there. So I was sitting there and I was listening to music or whatever. And then later on, I'd left the room, came back in and asked her, she who shan't be named, the time. And it was off, because it turned itself off to save the battery. Now, of course, when you switch it back on, you've got to wait for all that setup time, which is about a minute or so, for it to sort of get itself ready and connected to the network again. So that's a little bit of a downside to it. But I can understand why it does that. One thing it misses as well is a little handle to carry it about. I want a little, like a little paraffin lamp. I want to be able to carry it around. But yeah, it's not got that. So I'll just need to hammer one in myself.
But if you see one for half price anywhere, anyone,
oh, buy
it's
hundreds.
A great deal.
Yeah, yeah, buy the lot. Right, just quickly, one to watch. I wanted to, you were supposed to remind me of this.
I was going to say, Stephen, have we not got one to watch?
Well, I'm glad you brought it up because...
Oh, wonderful. Go on.
Here it is. My one to watch is called A Mini Guide from Pamtrad Seeing Solutions. Now, the reason I bring this up is because we tend to talk a lot about computer tech on the show and phones and all the rest, but I thought this would be quite interesting to bring up because this is a new device, a fairly new device, that allows you to navigate around buildings, shopping centres and complicated outside areas with renewed confidence, says the website. The mini guide is the ideal secondary navigational aid to help locate doorways, trees, lampposts, people and unexpected items in your bagging area. I made that up. But it says it's small and discreet and is easily concealed in the palm of your hand. It can also be attached to a cane. It's a little device that basically gives, it emits a tone, kind of like what we're talking about with the Soundscape app, I guess, but it emits a tone to let you know of objects in front of you. So as you walk towards someone, you'll get, you know, as it gets nearer, or as, you know...
So it's a blind person parking sensor.
Exactly, yeah. So a blind person reverse parking sensor. Exactly.
That's what we've got, everyone. That's what we've got.
That is what I'm suggesting that we watch this week. However,
wow.
It is,
I'm so glad I brought that up.
It's £300. So think of how many Vox speakers you could get. But
six, by the way. It's six, everyone.
Yeah, thank you to the Carol Vorderman of Tech Talk here. But yeah, really, really interesting device. You know, we kind of laugh about this technology. I often think this might be quite useful, especially if it's attached to your cane. Because obviously the cane is great for finding obstacles on the ground, bins or whatever else. But for people... for trees and all of that. I mean, the only thing I've got against it is, does it make this emitting tone as you walk around? So you sound like you're constantly reversing a white van. That would be my concern.
So essentially you could spend £300 and buy a device that makes turns your cane into something that's proactive and not reactive. Mm-hmm. That's the idea of it, is it? You could...
Basically, yeah.
Anyway, look... before you find them.
That is it. We are out of time. Thank you so much. Oh. We'll do this.
We'll get into it.
We'll pick this up again next time, I'm sure. Techtalk at rnib.org.uk. Get in touch if you can. Tell us what you think of the show. And blame everything on Lydia, because that's what we do. And we will catch you again next time. Remember the podcast? Search for it. It's a new one, RNIB Tech Talk. Not just the podcast of the show every single week, but also... loads of other features as well. Check them all out at RNIB Tech Talk, where you'll find it on iTunes and anywhere you get your podcasts. All the good places and even the bad ones. Guys, thank you again for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Catch you next time.